Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 97 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. You can find all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcast streaming services. And if you have a spare 30 seconds, please rate and view the podcast on whichever platform you use to help us be more discoverable to listeners who haven't heard about us yet. And now for this week's podcast. It is another NT Live special this week. This Thursday, the 27th of September, 2018, cinema audiences around the globe will have the chance to see an extraordinary production of King Lear, starring the incomparable Sir Ian McKellen in the titular role. Having studied English literature at Durham University here in the UK, including 2 years dedicated to Shakespeare, I have a working knowledge of the Bard's plays, and King Lear is one of my favorites, and I've seen a few productions in my time, not to mention the classic televised 1983 version with Sir Laurence Olivier taking on Lear. I mean, who hasn't seen that has studied Lear? It's with absolute delight that I heard another Knight of the Realm, Sir Ian McKellen, would be returning to a role he previously played in 2007, directed by Trevor Nunn. Sir Trevor Nunn, there's a lot of sirs going on, isn't there? And I didn't get to see that production, so when I heard Ian McKellen was coming back, I was just very, very excited. Well, Jonathan Bunby's production, which is currently running at the Duke of York's Theatre, has transferred from Chichester, and it feels astonishingly apt for today's climate of geopolitical posturing, and at one point, with a map of Europe being ripped apart by Lear. The cast, led by Sir Ian, simply cannot be faulted. It's fun, it's evil, it's wonderful, it's deliciously twisted, it's brilliant. From curtains up to lights down, the audience was taken on the most emotional, gut-wrenching journey into madness, and a sad journey that Ian takes. And I have to admit, I might have been just a little bit teary at the final tableau, Lear cradling Cordelia, whispering the words, "No, no, no life. Why should a dog, a horse, a rat have life? And now no breath at all." Just brilliant. Anyway, I was able to sit down and talk to some of the women in the cast about a number of unique aspects about this production. Firstly, I spoke with Sinead Cusack about the gender swapping of the role of Kent, something I've not seen before. Now, just a quick word. As it often happens, we chat to the company from the warm-up on, and Curtain Call never asks the production to halt in any way. We never ask people to be quiet, so in this instance, all the guests on this week's podcast are busy getting ready for the show. And Sinead has her own kind of time where she had her hair done in her dressing room at a certain point, and that happens during our chat. Now, I'm not going to apologize for the sound quality, because you know what? You get a real sense of the things happening in the room, which is exactly what we try to achieve with this podcast. Have a listen.
First of all, correct me if I'm wrong, but Kent's not often a character played by a woman, is that right? So how refreshing is that? And for me, I was like, oh, this is brilliant. Because I've never seen a production with Kent played by a woman.
No.
I think, what a difference.
No.
Like, completely different.
Good.
Just a perspective of having a man's ear, you know, or offering a different out, which isn't taken.
I agree. I've been asked to do, you know, gender swaps before, but I've always needed really good rationale for doing it. only for myself. I mean, I love the idea of diversity and women playing men and men playing women and all that. It's all great. But I need to have a very clear rationale why it would enhance a production rather than, you know, detract or distract.
Just be a gimmick, yeah.
A gimmick. So I was a little wary. And then Jonathan Mumby said to me, he said, you played Paulina in The Winter's Tale. He said, how was that experience? And I said, she's one of my favourite characters in Shakespeare. And he said, well, Kent is the other side of that same coin. And, of course, absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And then the other thing he said to me, he said, do you remember Mo Mollem? And I said, of course I remember Mo Mollem. And he said, she would have done anything to further the peace process. And she did, famously whipping off her wig during a DUP meeting to shock them into some sort of sanity. And he said she would have done anything. She would have gone into disguise. She would have done anything. And I then saw Kent. I saw him being played by a woman.
Yeah.
I understood how right it would be because she's fearless. She stands up to authority. She's feisty. She interrogates, you know, the wisdoms, received wisdom.
Yeah.
She does all that. And then she goes, because she loves him.
Yeah.
That's what we thought. And it's very obvious in the male Kent, as played traditionally, that Kent loves this man. So that there was something great about this man once, if Kent could love him in the way she does, or he does. And it's that she wants to redeem and bring back.
You know, Matt and I were talking on the way in, and we both, at the same time, it would be great to talk to Sinead about. And, you know, for a young actress coming in, or actor for that matter, coming in and seeing someone playing the role, and now it completely opens it up to, well, it doesn't matter.
No.
It's just a name.
Yeah.
And having that 12-year-old actress in the audience saying,
come in,
one day I'm going to play Kent.
Yeah, good. This is Kat.
Hi, Kat.
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. I think we can do it at the same time.
We kind of finished, I suppose we just finished about talking how cool it is for young actors to see someone different playing a role that is traditionally played by a man. I think
it's great.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring. What was also inspiring is seeing the energy of the cast on stage, because this is a cast that is right across the range from people's very early on careers to people that have had
a lot of
experience.
Yes, Ian and I are very old, John.
Okay, I tried
to avoid
to
saying
avoid
that.
Saying it.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right.
Okay, so the 20 years that Ian has on you, Sinead.
Yeah. In my dreams. Okay.
But it's really a physical performance as well. And it's non-stop.
It is. I think it's a really cinematic production. Carry on, Kat.
Yeah. Go for it.
It's a very cinematic production. It has great, enormous energy.
Yeah.
And the performances, you know, I've watched all those young ones.
Yeah.
Developing. And their contribution is huge. It's Lear's play. Of course it's Lear's play. And Ian is magnificent and never the same twice from night to night.
Someone else said that earlier.
Never. Okay? So it keeps us absolutely on our toes.
That makes me excited.
Yeah. Well, it's just wonderful to play with because he's always present in the moment.
Yeah.
And you haven't heard it before. So that's what keeps a production like this fresh. It's having somebody like him at the front, but the contribution of the young ones is all that all those different energies that they've got, and they do, like the difference between Edmund and Edgar, huge. The difference between Regan and Goneril, huge. You know, it's I think it's a really exciting production.
Exciting.
I think Jonathan's really clever.
Sinead Cusack there, talking about Lear and giving me a bit of grief, which I absolutely loved. She's brilliant in the role of Kent, a shakeup that works absolutely beautifully. And I also got to talk to the women who are playing Lear's daughters, Kirsty Bushell, Claire Price, and Anita Joy Iwaje, about the cast change from Chichester. Now, nearly half of the company are new to the production, which can be tricky, but they seem to manage rather well. And we also touched upon the political aspects of the play, something which Sinead also had a bit to say about.
My name's Kirsty Bushell, and I'm playing Regan.
My name's Claire Price, and I'm playing Goneril, who's the eldest and best.
My name's
And worst.
My name's Anita Joy Uwaje, and I'm playing Cordelia, who's the youngest and actually the best.
Okay, and Lear's daughters, the three sisters. And yes, this is a transfer from Chichester. You did this before, yes? Is that right?
I did.
Kirsty.
Oh, so
we
it's.
Did it.
Okay, now the dynamic shifts. This is interesting.
Yeah, so I'm the most authentic.
Okay.
So then you guys had
to play kind of catch up and create a sisterly bond or whatever. I mean, I know that the everyone gets their own piece of the action from Dad, Cordelia not so much. Mm. But you do have to present yourselves as sisters. And how did that work for you guys in the rehearsal process or whatever? Like, how did you kind of come together and create the sisterhood?
Mm. Well, I suppose Jonathan was very clear when we first spoke about it that we really wanted to make Regan and Goneril different.
We didn't
want them to mold into this, you know, the ugly sisters type, and so when there was another actress playing, my first question was, is Claire of a similar mind? Because we'd worked very hard in the earlier production to separate those two women out, to make sure that they were specific and real. And absolutely, Jonathan, I mean, when he first spoke to me about it, he said he felt that Regan spoke more from the heart, basically was more reactive, more emotional, and Goneril was sort of more of a
political
thought. And more logistical. And he said that absolutely, Claire is a brilliant actress and really receptive and appreciative to the text, because actually I think that is in the text.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he said, Claire is absolutely, that was of her mind when she came to playing, idea of playing Goneril. So that was the first thing, actually. You know, obviously there's considerable differences because of the way that they're treated, I would say. But
joining guys from your perspective, there were people, actors who were on the transfer board before at Chichester Festival Theatre, like coming into a family, as it were. What was it like for you guys? And I'm sure you were welcomed. I mean, theatre, we do love each other, but and it's okay, you can say you hated it.
It was horrible. No, it was actually really nice. I think everybody was really welcoming, and nobody, at least for me, didn't make me feel like, oh, we did it like this before, so we'll do it like that again. It was never like that. It was actually like, you come with your own ideas, you come with your own understanding of who Cordelia is and what her journey is and what her purpose is in this play. And so, it was really, it was a really warm reception and really openness to what I was going to bring to this character. And so that was really refreshing and actually really settled me when I joined, which was nice.
And I just had to treat it that way because I didn't see the production in Chichester. I've never come into something that's already had a life before. So I just treated it as the first day of... Mm. And on the first day, Sinead, who plays Kent, said, oh, I'm treating this as a total rethink. Mm. I wouldn't do it if I didn't know that was possible. So I thought, oh, okay, so they are not thinking, well, I'll just come on and do that. I'll stand there where I did it and chit that and work. They're thinking, this is now 4 weeks of rethinking.
Yeah.
So then I must just take that as permission to do it. And it seems to me like it's 50% new people as well, and in major parts.
Yeah.
So it's had to be sort of re-examined.
Yeah.
And nobody ever said, no one ever said, you came on there last time, which that's something that people stumble into.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's never, ever happened.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I mean, for the people who came with the show from Chichester, it's a new house. And with a new house comes a new feeling. I mean, I've played Chichester, it's a completely different house. So,
you know, it must, that's got to be good for you as well, to revisit it from a different perspective, walking into a new space. And
yeah, it's been great, actually. The first, you know, the first time I did it in Chichester, you know, it was, Jonathan runs a really happy rehearsal room.
Mm.
And, you know, I know that he, you know, wanted, and Ian wanted as well, to keep us, you know, to keep everyone together. That's not going to be possible. And actually, everyone was delighted with who came, you know, who came and who came in. Mm. So it, the whole thing, and again, the rehearsal room was light and fun, and there was an ease. So I think, yeah, there's yeah, and then of course we're in a different space and it's a different company. You know, we had to work quickly as well because there was only 3.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Jonathan was in a slightly more relaxed position because yeah. he could have seen what technically didn't work or where he would have liked to have pushed things further. So I think he felt in a quite a strong position coming into a new space because
yeah.
he had already seen it. And you know, and everyone's in the company is pretty lovely. So it was just, yeah, it was really open. It felt like a really open, happy experience. And
this is in a very astute and acute representation of what I see as the politics in America at the moment. And can you feel like the energy? There was a real energy from in the audience for me, and people. I think they just got the carrots and they got the ambition really quickly. There's no wishy-washiness about what the people were after, which is the gratification of self and the self-aggrandization. You know, just getting ahead at any cost. Really. Was like I felt it kind of come through, and is that something that was a through line for you guys?
We talked about Trump a lot.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. It really felt. I just was like, oh my god, I get this. Like from straight away.
Yeah.
Yes. With Lear, you know, saying praise me at the beginning. Tell me how much you love me.
Oh,
you know,
like an arse controlling narcissist.
It's just perfect.
Yeah.
And Brexit, of course. Yeah. You know, when I see those maps being ripped up.
Mm.
You know, the rashness.
I think that really cuts the audience. That, but I don't know if it happens every night. But the response from the audience when things are ripped, and France is ripped away from England, there are people like,
what are we doing?
Exactly.
That's what it actually looks like.
Yeah,
when you say
it's when you see it in those really raw terms. Mm. You know, maps being torn apart. Yeah, it's painful, and the consequences of that.
Yeah,
that rash separation, that, you know, disintegration,
and that when leadership is so faulty, it means that everyone behind becomes faulty.
Mm.
So the daughters are all over the place because their father is all over the place. You know, he's not. I mean, he's never been. That the one problem I have with the play. And this is a problem with women in Shakespeare, is that they're so lightly etched.
Yeah.
They're perfectly etched, but it's very light, just filled in with... You know, we have one conversation, the three of us.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's it. That's got to feed the audience for the rest of the evening, that was the dynamic between the three. One of them going, I see you.
Mm.
And the other two going, I don't know what you're talking about. You need to look at yourself. And that's that. Mm. That's all we have. And then the next thing we know is one has been trying to get her murdered. That's it. That's all we...
Mm. Mm.
So, but that lightness... From that, you know, they have a conversation at the start where they say, but he's always been difficult. It's not just because he's old. Mm, he's always been. He's never known who he is.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, we're who we are.
But we only get to say it once.
We only get to say it once, and we only get to say it very briefly.
Yeah.
But I think that I see as an outsider looking on at America is that when you have a bad guy in the White House, everyone's a bad guy because everyone goes, I can say what I like.
Yeah.
I can be who I want.
Yeah.
I don't have to be careful anymore about my manners.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want now because he does.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the play is, the unraveling of that.
It's like the holes, the gaps that are created in these divisions.
Yes.
All of these things can, you know, gush into it.
Yeah.
And those people aren't necessarily equipped
to handle it.
To handle it.
I talked to the sisters. I was down speaking to the three
girls
about how apt this play is right now. And as an American watching this show, I mean,
my favorite line in the play is "a dog." It's Lear's line, and the line is "a dog's obeyed in office."
Yeah.
And he, I know that Ian thinks of Trump every time he says it.
Yeah.
A dog.
There was chuckles. There were real recognitions. And I was telling the girls, like, as an American watching this thing, where everything was about self aggrandization, self promotion, like beyond, just not saying anything beyond here, saying what you wanted to get ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even to the point of killing your family.
Yes.
In order to get it. And at the beginning, when Lyra is saying, "Tell me how much you love me," sitting down and writing this phrase, we've seen it. So really, is that, can you, I felt it in the audience. I don't know if you guys can feel
it. You see, that's the wonder of Shakespeare, John, to me, is, yes, we happen to be in a time where there is such volatility in the world, such madness in the world, as epitomised by Trump, as epitomised by Brexit, division, all that sort of stuff. You know, the play appears to be incredibly apposite and, you know, mirroring all sorts of turmoil that's happening in the world today. But actually, in almost all Shakespeare's plays, I find that there are levels that you can explore where our world is, the world we live in today, is revealed in his play and, you know, opened up in his plays.
Yeah.
He's just genius.
Yeah.
You know?
Kirsty Bushell, Claire Price, and Anita Joy Iwaje, along with Sinead Cusack, from the company of King Lear, currently playing at the Duke of York's Theatre in London's West End. But more than that, it's available globally this Thursday, the 29th of September 2018, at a cinema near you. Treat yourself, watch this masterclass of theater making. Now, before we wrap up, if you are a theater professional, you need to head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. We'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Just get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to the entire company of King Lear at the Duke of York's Theatre. Go see it, people. And this will not be the only podcast from this production. We'll be bringing you some more of the men from Lear at some point in the very near future. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theatre Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.